This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And James and John said to Jesus, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." Now, when the 10 heard this, what James and John had asked, they became angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. There are two points in particular in this gospel lesson that I want to draw our attention to today. The first is the word ransom. In this word, we experience a common problem with biblical interpretation. Our understanding of this word is not quite the same as what the Greek conveys. When we hear the word ransom, we think of fairy tales or movies where the child of someone wealthy or powerful is kidnapped, and the only way they'll be returned is if a ransom is paid. To us, a ransom is a person or item being exchanged for large sums of money. And that's been our definition of ransom for a long time in English. But the Greek conveys something else. The original meaning of this word was more like deliverance or liberation, to be set free from something for something. So what Jesus really says is this: for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a liberation for many. Jesus tells his disciples that his purpose as the Son of Man, the purpose of him coming here on earth, is to serve. And hand in hand with that service is this liberation. And because this liberation is done by the Son of Man, we know it is done out of steadfast love. So when we put all of this together, we end up with one of the best definitions of service that I can think of. Service is loving liberation from all that comes. causes humankind and creation suffering, whether that is violence, poverty, prejudice, loneliness, or something else. That when we do that act of service, it sets people free from the things that hold them down, that oppress them, that cause them pain. Jesus tells us that his purpose is to serve, to lovingly liberate people and creation. And the second point that I want to draw our attention to is the context in which Jesus makes this statement. Jesus makes this statement about the purpose of the Son of Man in response to the request of James and John. Now, James and John are trying to secure their positions in the world as they believe Jesus is creating it. And the positions that they have requested, oh boy, to sit at the right hand and the left hands of Christ himself. When the disciples are once again getting off track, Jesus finds a way to bring them back into alignment with their calling. When the disciples are off track, Jesus reminds them of who he is and who they are as his followers. Jesus' purpose is to serve, to lovingly liberate from suffering. And Jesus asks his disciples to join him in his purpose. And this, I think, is perhaps the most significant part. Jesus does not call his disciples to serve on their own. He doesn't call them to do something that he's not willing to do himself. He calls his disciples into a co-mission, a shared mission with him, with Jesus. The call to shared mission with Jesus is why I'm very excited to share with you all today a little teaser of our next step in redevelopment. We have been journeying through this redevelopment process together. And we started with sharing stories of grace with one another. And out of those stories, we discerned that the heart that God has given our congregation is described in what we wrote for our mission statement. At Grace Lutheran Church, we believe in God's grace. Here we experience God's grace through steadfast love, inclusive belonging, and living hope. Because that is our experience, we seek to live God's grace with one another, our neighbors, and creation. After we listened to the stories of our congregation and we wrote that mission statement, we then shared all of our gifts and passions through the process of asset mapping. And then we took all of those gifts and passions and brainstormed events and projects and ministries that we could share as a community. And the redevelopment team has been working to take all of the stuff that you all shared, and we were blessed with a true abundance of ideas and gifts and resources. So we've been taking all of that and forming it into a strategic plan. And as we were trying to create some structure to this plan, we returned to our mission statement, where we name three core values and how we seek to live each of these core values with one another, with our neighbors, and with creation. Now, I'm not going to go into detail about all nine of these co-missions this morning. Three values for three ways that we live them, so 3 times 3, 9. I'm not going to go into detail on all of them. You'll get detail soon. But I do want to give you a teaser of some of them, because I'm really excited with what we are going to share together in ministry in this next year, what you all lifted up as our gifts and the needs of our community. So the co-mission that will help us as a congregation live our value of steadfast love with one another is to create a grace care team. The purpose of this is to organize visits and communication with our church members who are homebound, and to organize other acts of care within our community. Things like setting up the food train after someone gets out of the hospital or somebody has a baby. Things like organizing our celebrations for big milestones like baptisms and other celebrations. This care team will be focused on how we might care for one another, how we can share that steadfast love with the members of this community. The co-mission that for this year will help us to live inclusive belonging with our neighbors is to have discussion and discernment around becoming an RIC, Reconciling in Christ, congregation. A congregation that's openly welcoming to our siblings in the LGBTQIA2+ community. Now, we already practice many aspects of this welcome, but we don't clearly state that we are a welcoming community in a way that would let somebody know that they would be safe and loved here at Grace. So in this commission, we'll have discussion and discernment about that process. We'll learn what that would mean for our congregation and if it's the right choice for us. Not that we're going to say, yes, we're doing it right now, but that we're going to have that discussion and that time of learning with one another. Our co-mission that helps us to live living hope with creation is to create a green team. We heard from many of you that creation is one of the places where you feel the presence of God, and that caring for creation is deeply important to you. So our green team will identify practices that we can share at Grace that help us to care for creation, how we might make our glass recycling a little more financially sustainable and more present in our community, and education and advocacy opportunities for our church to share with one another, with our neighbors, with the world. So those are just some of the co-missions. Others include creating a children's ministry, deepening our relationship with Bethlehem Lutheran Church, creating a new member program to help our new members find that sense of belonging within our congregation. And other co-missions really focus on learning the needs of the community around us. We know already what many of the needs within our congregation are, but we need to have that time of intentional listening to our partners in our neighborhood and our city to really learn the needs that we might be able to address with our gifts. So some of our co-missions focus on that active listening. Now, I am very excited about these co-missions that we have chosen, and you all shared so many ideas that we could not do them all. So we had to focus in on a few to do this next year. I'm very excited about them because they'll help us to live the values that we share, the values that we heard that God has written upon our heart as a congregation, and how we'll share those values with one another, our neighbors, and creation. But what I think I'm most excited about in these co-missions is who we share them with. We decided to call the points of our strategic plan co-missions, because these are missions that we share with one another. They're not solely the work of the pastor or the redevelopment team. They are the missions that we share as a congregation, as a community, a co-munity. And these are the missions that we share with Jesus. Siblings, when we live the values that God has given us, the ones that God wrote on our hearts, when we share these co-missions, we are with Jesus. And Jesus is with us. These co-missions are not simply nice things to do. They are the call to service that Jesus says is who he is and that he calls his disciples to share as well. These co-missions are the loving liberation of Jesus the Christ. They are what helps set people and creation free from the things that would harm us, that would cause suffering, things like loneliness and exclusion and poverty and prejudice, destruction of this good creation. These co-missions, they're not just nice things that we should do as a church. They are what fill this world with love and with belonging and with hope. So today I have two asks for all of you. First, because it's stewardship season, as you consider your intent cards, which if you haven't gotten yours in the mail, expect to see it shortly in the mail. As you fill out your intent cards, what you plan to give in this next year, I ask that you remember that your offering plays a crucial role in helping our congregation to faithfully live all of our co-missions, all of our ministries as a church. Our offerings are what give us the financial stability to actually do ministry. So as you pray, and please do pray this week, as you pray about your giving, remember how your giving is vital to our congregation living the values that God's written on our hearts. Now, my second ask is that you start praying about how you will help our congregation live out our co-missions this next year. Again, although I think it bears repeating, these co-missions are not solely the work of the pastor or of the redevelopment team. They are the work, the calling to service that God has given our entire congregation. So every single one of us is involved intentionally and actively in living these co-missions with one another, our neighbors, and creation. So I invite you to start praying about how you are going to help our church live these co-missions. Ask God to help guide your heart and your mind for how you're going to sign up, for what you will do, for what God is calling you to as your act of service, of liberation for this world. Pray this week. And as we keep going, and as you wait eagerly, I'm sure, for more details about these co-missions. Siblings, these co-missions, they're not just nice things for our church to do. These are the call to service that Jesus has given us. These are the loving liberation of Jesus the Christ. And when we share these, we don't just share them with one another. We share them with Jesus. When we live these things, we can feel that Jesus is with us, and we are with him. Amen.